we're back.
It's sports all around the clock. Sports all the time.
Horrible. He's a horrible human being that shouldn't be in the league, is what I believe.
For one final season, live on Penguin Radio, this is the Tailgate.
But I mean, look at me. Do I look like a cross country runner to you? Playing against the top tier teams in the nation.
You sure it's not top?
Top.
Dude, I love Blake Griffin. I'm not a Clippers fan, but I love Blake Griffin.
The final season of The Tailgate with Brock Beal and Hunter Hornstein starts right now.
And here we go.
Oh, how's it? Welcome back after 3 long weeks. Man, that's a long time. The best damn tailgate that you're ever going to have is back on your airwaves. Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. To my right, after 3 long weeks, El Capitan, Mr. Brock Beal. My name is Hunter Hornstein. This is The Tailgate every Thursday night, 9 to 10 o'clock on radio.dominican.edu, broadcasting from beautiful San Rafael, California. It finally stopped raining. We've got bright sunshine. It's baseball season, and we're back on your airwaves. Here we go.
Hey, on the way over here, I heard a really good joke. You want to hear it?
Absolutely. Love right. Jokes.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Owen.
Owen who?
Owen 3.
Yeah!
Go Mariners, right? Right? Your Halos doing real good in the first series at home. Just all that money you spent on Trout really paid off. I mean, I think he got all his money's worth on the very first at bat of the season, and that's it. You're done. It's over. King Felix came in there just throwing smoke. Just absolutely loved it.
365 days out of the year, Brock Beal, oh, baseball sucks, baseball is boring. As soon as the Mariners start winning,
it's not even as soon as the Mariners start winning. It's as soon as the Angels start losing I start liking baseball. That's all it is, really. I just want to see your team fail. For example, cheerio and 4,
oh,
Steelers.
Oh, man.
Oh, it just does my heart good.
He's pulling out all the stops.
It just does my heart so good to see your team suck so bad.
I can't decide what is my favorite meme, so to speak. The one where it's Ben Roethlisberger in front of Big Ben and it's cheerio and 4. Is it the one of Robinson Cano and Mike Trout, knock, knock, yada, yada? Or is it the one of the old Geico commercial with the farmer, old McDonald, EI, Owen 4?
For the Steelers.
For the Steelers, of course. All my teams,
always.
You know.
You know, always got to represent your teams.
Bad
I mean,
juju.
Those are all good. I just don't think that I've seen any other memes like that for other teams just because I specifically look for your teams. Like, specifically search, like,
it's how I know
jokes
you,
about, like,
it's how I know you care. It's how I know you care.
Well,
that's the biggest thing.
We kid because we care here.
Absolutely. It's all out of love.
That's all it is.
Even though there's a hint of truth to that, I will take that with a grain of salt.
Also, a little side fact about the Angels, not to rip on you anymore. This is more of about the Mariners thing. 25 years to the day, Ken Griffey Jr.
Big guy.
Big deal. He's kind of a big deal. I mean, is he in the Hall of Fame yet, or has he not qualified yet?
Not yet.
He has a couple years left.
He will be, though.
Oh, he'll be first time.
I don't think there's a doubt about that.
No.
Greatest player.
I just don't know how long you have to wait.
Skill-wise, in our area. Era, at least. I mean, growing up watching him play as a Pacific Northwestern guy, though, you have some good friends from back home that he's revered.
Yeah, and it's really crazy. Even growing up, I used to go to Seattle games all the time when we played baseball, my brother and I, before we started playing lacrosse. We'd go to the Seattle Yankee games back when they were
way back in the day, and
they would always play in the playoffs, and we always lost to them. Like, it was Portland playing the Lakers. Unreal. Lakers and Yankees can never beat.
Speaking of another team, one of my teams that's starting to go down the drain.
Oh, it just does me so good.
Way to name drop the Los Angeles Lake Show there. Thank you.
Anyway, but growing up and watching, Randy Johnson, A-Rod, Brett Boone. Brett Boone was my favorite player, even though it's pretty clear he was on the juice pretty hard.
He might have been.
John Olerud with the helmet at first base. Oh, I just loved watching those guys play.
Little Mike Cameron action,
Mike
even
Cameron,
in center field.
Yep, absolutely.
And then when Ichiro came on the scene, and
I went to one of his first games, I think.
Really?
Yeah, we were up in Seattle visiting my grandparents, and that was pretty crazy. The way that he would hit, and already be running out of the batter's box by the time he swung.
No one else did it.
It was, yeah, nobody else did it, and he had more hits just because he would beat out all the balls into the infield. I mean, it was just like unreal.
Speed kills.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then what he would do in the outfield, you know, running up the walls and that was kind of before, that was Mike Trout before there was Mike Trout, really.
And the thing about him even too was that he had so much success in the Japanese professional leagues. And before him, there hadn't been a position player that had done very well in Major League Baseball. So there was a lot of unknown. It wasn't even...
It was mostly pitchers and stuff,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. You're looking at your pitchers that come over and have success. Okay, that's one thing. But to have a position player who, you know, how are they going to fare against these Major League pitchers? And for him to do what he did to win Rookie of the Year in 2001 and the MVP, you're not going to see a player like that, especially from his background, ever again in your life. It was really a monumental shift in baseball.
Yeah, so basically I think what we're getting at with this opening segment is Mariners, bring us back to the promised land. Well, I will jump hard on that bandwagon. I will be on that bandwagon so quick, and I'm not even ashamed of it because that would be sweet.
And I would actually agree with you in a lot of sense that it's a good thing that the Mariners are starting to become relevant again. I know it's only three games in this season. You know, it's a long year. We got a full summer ahead of us. But if the Mariners somehow, and I don't know if it's because of Robinson Cano, but somehow rallied around this and become that dark horse that just doesn't go away in the playoff race, and they're relevant come August and September, that's huge for baseball.
Well, we've seen teams in the last couple of years even do that. I'm just saying, as like a not really a diehard baseball guy, but you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates were nothing until, you know, 2 years ago or even last year.
Yeah.
Baltimore Orioles were pretty much nothing, right, non-existent until the last couple of years. So that's just two examples of teams that put the right personnel together.
And not even in just baseball. If you want to look at all around sports, how great is it that teams are starting? Because even the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
Last time they were in the Super Bowl, you know, Sean Alexander, they lost, and then they kind of disappeared for a while. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they're the class of defense in the NFL now. And how great is that to have them back?
I know. You know, the whole Northwest is really just booming right now. If they would bring the Sonics back, I think Seattle might burn to the ground. There might be legit riots of, like, joy in Seattle if they somehow brought the Sonics back. Can you imagine if the Sonics were still in Seattle with KD and that whole crew that's in Oklahoma City right now? If they were still the Sonics.
So you're talking about the talent that would be in with the Thunder right now in Seattle.
In Seattle. How insane that would be.
So you've got your three major sports there just absolutely going off.
Yeah.
Not to mention Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll signing a new contract.
Yeah, absolutely.
For trillions of dollars and hundreds of years. They're going to preserve his head in some like jar and just start tapping it for sports knowledge after a while.
Well, it only took 4 years of us on the air to finally start really talking about Seattle.
Yeah, you know, hey, it is what it is. We had to get up there at some point. And Blazers are in the playoff hunt. They're one game back. They were in first. Now they're one game back. So, you know,
if you guys ever want a treat, watch Mr. Brock Beal during a Blazer game. It's one of the most incredible things you'll ever see. You will actually see a guy self-destruct in front of you as the game goes on.
It's not, well, yeah, you're right. But it's only when they're not doing well. It's only when they're not doing well, and they don't do well a lot of the time. But this year they've been doing well, and then the one game that I decided, I'm actually going to sit down because it's on TNT so I can actually watch a game. The one game I watched, they imploded.
And might I remind you, we had also the opportunity to watch the Lakers as well, and it was we're gonna finish this game, Hunter. You can't change the channel, and much to, you know, my
joy, I'm sure. Yeah. See, it's a mutual thing. It's not just I like to rip on your teams. We like to have fun.
It works.
We enjoy each other.
That's how you do it. Yeah. We got a good show for you. It's been 3 weeks.
It's been a long time. We've been on the road.
You've been on the road.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that.
Yeah, we're going to talk some road trip action. We have another road trip coming up next week, so we're going to take another week and a half break until the next show.
It's something about that lacrosse season there that kind of, for all good reasons, of course.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely.
And it kind of takes precedent when you're on your senior year.
It's your farewell swan song.
I know. 23 days left of the season as of today.
Is it hitting you yet?
I think it actually kind of hit me right after winter break, like right when we were coming back to school. And I feel kind of lucky though, because I feel like I recognized that really early.
You can
like
enjoy
before
it.
The semester even started. I was kind of like, wow, like this is it. Like, I'm not doing this again. Like, every day during double days, like, it sucked and everybody's tired and cranky. And I was just kind of like,
this is the last time you're going
to
do it.
Last time I get to wake up at 6 in the morning and go run 2 miles or whatever it was that day, you know.
And I know how much you're going to miss that.
Yeah. Oh, I'll miss – I won't miss that so much, but I'll miss the guys more than anything. And, like, going on the road trips and doing that, I'll definitely miss that a lot. So it's going to be a good last couple weeks, and it'll be a good ride.
Well, before you get all sentimental and start crying on me here.
Well, that's going to come pretty quick. I got the tissues, don't worry.
The end of an era is, as far as Brock Beal is concerned, but – kind of the next generation of Beals, your younger brother, Jack, who's a freshman now, who I know, and we can get into this after the break, how excited you are to play alongside your brother there, at least at the collegiate level. He's going to be live here in studio on the tailgate when we come back after the break. We'll talk a little bit about that road trip to L.A. And kind of just, we'll have a little family moment. How about that?
So
does that work?
Bonding. So much
so
bonding.
So much bonding.
Great. Can't wait. Stay tuned, people.
That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Tailgate. He's Beal. I'm Hornstein. Keep it here. Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I've got this thing tangled around my foot here. I'm struggling. It's just like the Angels.
And you still had my mic muted, so I couldn't even bail you out as you're trying to unwrap from the cord. You're still like, I'm still sitting over here twiddling my thumbs because I can't talk.
Yeah.
You took my power away.
It happens.
We talked about this. The microphone is power.
It is.
You got to have the power.
Radio.dominican.edu, Penguin Radio, The Tailgate. This is our final season, actually, if you think about it. I know we were talking about your final season.
We've probably got like 2 shows left.
Something along those lines.
2 or 3 shows left at the most.
Man.
Time flies.
We haven't gotten any presents, by the way. What's up with that?
I know. Derek Jeter's getting golf clubs. I'm sure he has golf clubs,
guys. I could use some golf clubs.
I could use a couple nine irons, probably.
I could use some golf clubs. Every Thursday night, 9 to 10. Actually, probably not every Thursday night because road trips coming up.
Road trips, yeah.
And you just came back from one.
We did. We went to L.A. for 4 days. Split the series 1-1, which was not exactly what we were looking for. The first game was great. You know, we played a newer team in DePauw from Indiana, which was, you know, it was great. Everybody played well. You know, defense played well. Goalie Reese played great. Actually, all three goalies played great. But the second game against Whittier, it was almost like every single thing that went well in the first game of the series just flipped on us. You know what I mean? It was, you know, every ball that bounced our way against DePauw, every shot that hit pipe and went in against DePauw was reversed. So every ball that was loose on the ground, Whittier picked up. Every shot that we took that hit pipe or hit the goalie, you know, bounced the wrong way. Every little tic-tac call that could have gone either way went their way.
Right.
It was just one of those things where it's like we couldn't catch a break. And then we got down, and it was just kind of a really weird feeling because we were never really out of it, I never thought, until the last, like, minute because we can score so quickly. But it was just really hard to get any momentum when we couldn't do anything. It was just like fate was just crushing us on that one.
Was it never that time when that, you know, if the door's cracked, you just couldn't quite push it open all the way yet?
There was one where we scored a goal, and it was either tied or we were up one maybe, and then their face-off guy won a face-off clean and ran down the field and scored. And it was like we were finally like, yes, okay, we're good. We're going to go on a run right now. And they literally turned around and scored like 8 seconds later. And that's kind of demoralizing, especially when you're like building towards something, you know?
Right.
And you're kind of like, okay, we've got this. 8 seconds later, just as soon as the whistle blows, boom. And it's like, okay, now we're back down to, now they're fired up and we're just kind of going, what is going on?
Right, right.
You know what I mean? But that was just, you know, my opinion. Got people that have been listening to the show for the last 3 years have heard Laxbro with Brock Beal for, you know, every Tuesday, Thursday nights since the tailgate's been around. So
I forgot all about that segment.
I know, right? That was a great segment. It was my 15 minutes of fame, and I just absolutely sucked at it.
Oh,
but
man.
We actually brought in some fresh blood, the next generation of Beal to come through Dominican. And might I add, the generations get better as we get younger. So, significantly improved.
Don't,
for the
don't
Penguins.
Worry. He reminds.
He reminds
everybody.
Me every single day that I see him. Hey, remember when I scored those 4 goals that game and you didn't have a single ground ball or anything? He's like, oh yeah, thanks. I remember that, bud. All right. But here in the studio with us is my favorite Penguin, Jack Beal, aka the Little Baby. Hey man.
Hey.
How's it going? Nice
thanks
hat.
For the intro. Thank you.
Yeah, you like
it's
that?
New. Yeah.
You like?
I actually
like it.
Picked it up on the road trip.
Did you?
Speaking
oh, the spring break trip?
The spring break trip.
At the Giant Dick's Sporting Goods?
At the Giant Dick's Sporting Goods in North Carolina. They yep. got everything.
That's all they got there. They had crossbows. You could buy Daryl's crossbow from Walking Dead.
You could buy Daryl's crossbow. That was
no
a,
way.
It,
oh,
was,
yeah.
It even had his picture on the package.
That's pretty
it
awesome.
It was sweet. Yeah. You know you're North Carolina when you can buy a crossbow.
They start him young
sweet.
Down there.
They do. Oh. There was like 12-year-old little pink crossbows for like little girls.
Zombie apocalypse is no laughing matter.
No. You got to be prepared. We're prepared. We got it under control.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So you've done 2 road trips now in your collegiate career. What was the difference, do you think, between like the East Coast trip, which was a lot longer, and the LA trip, which was obviously shorter, but more packed with games? What do you think was like the biggest difference for you as a freshman between those 2 trips?
Oh, well, like you just said, I mean, the length of each of the trips, East Coast one was 10 or 11 days, I think, and 4 different states and driving on the bus. The LA trip was a lot more condensed, only 4 days, 2 games. But, I mean, I think both of them were pretty cool. The spring break trip was my first experience, so obviously I was looking forward to that and got to do a lot of cool things because we had extra time. And, of course, in the LA trip, only winning one of the 2 games was kind of a downer. But other than that, they're both really good.
Does it matter for you as far as, like you said, the condensed thing, get in, get out, is the quick turnarounds with that rather than being on the road for a week and having maybe a couple of days in between games, Does that affect you at all? And actually, this is probably a question for both of you. Whoever wants to answer goes first.
I think the biggest thing when you have two games with like maybe a day in between, and even on the East Coast trip, we really only had like a day at most between games. And the worst part, I think, is that you don't get to scout the other team at all. Like when we play, you know, one team and then 2 days later we turn around and play the next game, the whole time leading up to those two games, we're pretty much worried about the first game because you don't want to overlook somebody. And then to turn around and be like, okay, the next day now we have film and practice, and that's the only look you get at another team, and they've maybe had 3 or 4 days or a week even to like look at you and watch your tape and see you. Not that, you know, it's not that big of an effect, but I think it really does make a difference just because, you know, if I get 4 or 5 days to watch film on a team, I'm going to learn way more than if I watch one section of film for 20 minutes in the lobby of a hotel. Does that make, you know,
absolutely.
You kind of think the same thing.
Well, I mean, it kind of showed on our road trip. The first game of each trip we won, Queens in North Carolina, and then DePaul down in LA. Those were the first games. So we had that full week leading up to it to prepare just for that game, because you don't want to overlook a team and start preparing for the second game, which we ended up losing in both series as well.
Definitely. What do you think about, I mean, for me it's different a little bit, but how do you like handle living in a hotel for even like 4 days? Like, you don't get to do your pregame rituals really like you would in the dorms or at my house or whatever. Like, how do you cope with that differently?
I mean, yeah, we didn't get to do the same traditions we always do in the dorms or at Cal Arega for team breakfast and stuff. But a lot of the concepts were still there. You know, you're living right next to each other just like we do in the dorms. So I think it might be a little bit different for upperclassmen who live off campus and have their own houses because, I mean, really, I kind of looked forward to going in the hotel. They clean your sheets. They vacuum the floor. You get a shower with water pressure. Are you kidding me? So it was kind of almost a break from the dorms. But, yeah, I agree.
So they're living the life on the road trips, and I'm suffering. I'm suffering in my room thinking, oh, my God, no food.
Unless the freshmen have to sleep on the couch, which was me for, like, all 11 days of the East Coast trip.
What are you talking about? We had a king-size bed. Okay. We shared that sucker.
Besides the first 2 days. We did cuddle.
We did cuddle.
It happened.
That's okay. He was a little spoon. I mean, it happens.
Hey, what, you know?
We had the classic pillow wall.
We did build the pillow wall. We built a half fort between us just to be safe.
I mean, they give you so many pillows. What else are you going to do with them?
And they're huge. The pillows there are like this big. They're the giant like self-body ones. It was great. Yeah. It was wild.
But it was pretty cool rooming with Brock. I know when they gave us our rooming assignments and everything, they don't tell you until you get to the hotel. So we've been traveling all day kind of thinking about who our roommate's going to be. And he said, Beal and Beal, room whatever it was, 234. And I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool. So
I thought it
was a
kind
good experience.
It was kind of funny because everybody else was kind of like trying to figure out like who's going to shower first and who, you know. And I was like, well, I know that I like to shower right away after a practice. And Jack's kind of like, eh, I don't care. Yeah. I can shower in 10 minutes. It doesn't matter. So we just get back to the room and not even say anything. I'd just take my towel and shower, and he'd be on the, you know, couch watching TV or whatever and just be good. And then, you know, our parents were both on the East Coast trip, so they didn't have to, like, run through the hotel to find us. They just come right down to our room.
We didn't have to get anything new. We have known each other for a little bit over 19 years.
Yeah, a while.
That's almost my whole life.
I would hope so.
I thought he was going to say 22 years for a second. I was like, please don't say the whole thing.
I would hope so. Well, and talk about that a little bit there, Jack. That dynamic of, you know, being with your brother and being on the road with your brother, competing with him on, you know, what has been right now the highest level of your career, you know, at the collegiate level, the NCAA level. That's got to be a cool dynamic, and at least for 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, you being a freshman, him being a senior, it's almost a passing of the torch, so to speak.
Yeah. And it's kind of similar to our high school career. I was a freshman, he was a senior, so we got 1 year together, but obviously that wasn't as big of a commitment as we're out now. So now that we're practicing every day, lifting after practice, Saturday film sessions, whatever we're doing, I mean, we just spend a lot of time together, and I think it's really cool, especially with him leaving right after graduation. I mean, everyone's kind of been asking me how I feel about that, but I mean, he went off to college and
how
I survived.
How do you feel about that?
I'm really excited for him. There's not a single thing that I would have different, because, I mean, I know that's what he wants. So
He's really excited because really cool. He gets to come visit me. Yeah, that's what he's really excited.
I better be in
Australia
within the next year.
For those of the listeners who might not know, and I don't know how you wouldn't know.
I tell everybody. I'm pretty excited.
Brock Beal is going down under as soon as he gets his last final out of the way, and he's going to be playing, continuing that college career. Yep. Not college career. Sorry, the
lacrosse.
Lacrosse.
That's that one sport that we play here.
That one sport.
Yeah. And it'll be exciting. It'll be good. But I'm like I said before the break, I'm really just trying to go after each day because I know that they're definitely numbered, and it's been really cool to see Jack come in and the younger guys come in that I've got to know just in the last year, because I think that the program's really headed in the right direction. And even if they weren't coming out of high school, not all of them were all Americans like this guy. We can't have 12 all Americans commit every year. It just doesn't work.
Well, Jack's kind of a special breed as well.
Well, yeah, but he's
no.
No. But the way that each of those guys has really stepped in and found a role in the team, and obviously from your last game senior year of high school to where you are now, all those guys have gotten so much better.
Right.
Just in the first year. And I remember that my freshman year, just coming back for the summer and just being like, wow, I am so much better than I was a year ago. And you guys will see the same thing. And even next year when you come back as sophomores, mm-hmm. you're just that much, you're that much bigger. You know what to expect now. You've seen what you need to do to get better. And it's just really cool I'm going to be able to watch you guys and your class since I know you now. Especially the other guys for a couple more years, and be able to check the scores and be like, oh, Scotty Vansell finally had more than one goal in a game.
Oh, ouch. Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. So it's, it'll be really cool to watch, his class, especially since we have such a special connection, but all those guys in the next couple years, and to look in the next, 3 years when they're seniors and we're old and have beer bellies and, getting gray-haired and stuff probably by then. If I'm following my dad, I'll probably be balding already, so I've got that to look forward to. That's great.
I'm sure the Fodge appreciates you saying that.
Well, he knows. I tell him all the time.
And that's another thing also, that the parents, every time, there's a game down, at Kennelly Field, and I go down there and sit with your parents, and the thing that your mom always says is that how great it is to be able to not have to choose which game they're going to go see, whether it's Lil Baby or Brock here. But the fact that they, just like, in high school, they get to see both of you at that high level together. And that's, if it's just for 1 year, it's definitely a fun dynamic and a fun experience for them. Brock, I know that you and probably Jack as well, you guys speak with your parents on a pretty daily basis. And as far as that being your last, again, part of the lasts for you, that's gotta, I don't know, I'm not gonna say you're gonna cry right now, but it looks like you're tearing up.
No, it's definitely cool. Aww. It's definitely it's definitely special, because when I was here for a couple years when he was still in high school, they really didn't get to come to any games. They definitely didn't go on any road trips until last year. And, because they had him, and I totally understand. I would want them to go to his high school games more than drive all the way down to San Rafael or whatever, fly to the East Coast. But I think it's definitely nice for the whole crew to get together and to be in one spot. And this year we have people in the family that haven't seen us play, either of us play, probably since
a long time.
I was a freshman in high school, maybe. So that was the last time they really came and saw us play. Maybe, I don't know, when was the last time some of those guys came out?
No, definitely last weekend we had seemed like half the crowd was part Beals. Of the Beal family. We had a pretty big cheering section, so it was really cool. We got to go out to dinner with aunt and uncle from New York, mm-hmm. other people from Vancouver, a little cousin who's growing up and starting to play youth lacrosse, so we got him a little fiddlestick and we're playing catch with him. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
So it's good to see everyone, and it's definitely nice for them to be able to come to one spot and see both of us at the same time.
It's definitely a cool experience, and not a lot of guys get to do that. A lot of guys have brothers that go and play other places, and siblings that spread out all over the map pretty much right after high school. So it's neat that we've been able to stay so close together, and that we get along well enough that we don't want to kill each other after 6 months of living pretty much right next to each other again.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah, you guys have been living, I think, pretty close in proximity for the majority of your lives.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If you guys don't know who we're talking about, and honestly, I don't know why you wouldn't, we got Jack Beal here live on the tailgate. Brock Beal, Hunter Hornstein every Thursday night, and getting sentimental.
It's getting a little, it's getting a little weird.
Getting a little heavy.
It's getting a little deep.
It's cutting me deep.
Oh, my.
I'll survive.
You'll be all right.
Jack, how's the transition been from the high school game to, you know, to the college level?
I mean, everything's faster in college. People are bigger, stronger. I mean, we got a couple freshmen that are 18 years old, and they're going to up against 24, 23-year-olds. I mean, it's pretty crazy. Luckily, Coach Webster has done a really good job of making all of our practices realistic to games. So it wasn't a complete shock the first time we stepped on the field in a real game against Adams State. I mean, I think all the freshmen kind of had their feet underneath them. And even if we've gotten knocked over a couple times in games, we've been able to kind of, you know, pop back up because we play quite a bit in practice. And I mean, that fall ball period where we didn't have any real games, just scrimmages, it really helped us as develop into actual college players. We weren't seniors in high school anymore, you know. We got our team helmets. We got our team gloves. We didn't have our high school stuff anymore. I didn't have my blue helmet playing on a black and yellow team. But, you know, it's been really good. The turning point seems pretty smooth at this point. I haven't messed anything up too bad, I hope. And it's been really good so far. I'm excited to finish out this season and hopefully walk away with the championship.
Yeah, I forgot this, but both of our first like official college games were both against Adams State. My freshman year, we played Adams State on the old grass field, then this year, I forgot about that until you just said that. That's kind of funny.
Jack never beat them both. Jack never had to play on that old.
Lucky
Forest Meadows
saved,
there
saved about eight ACL tears by this time now, so that's good. But I got a question for you, and be totally honest, we all feel the same way. The suit and tie, what do you think on the road trips? Wearing the suit and tie on the planes.
Oh, you have never been uncomfortable until you've worn a suit and tie on a school bus at 4 a.m. from Dominican to San Francisco, which on a school bus is probably an hour.
That's more than like an hour and a half. Yeah,
it's an hour in a car.
And the school buses don't have the places to put your bags underneath, so all of your bags, your gear bag and your suitcase, is on your lap. And it's 2 to a seat, well, for the freshmen at least.
Yeah.
We get jammed in there. There might have been some freshmen 3 to a seat. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. We look great, but by the time you get there and
your shirt's like totally stained from sweat at some point.
I don't think I've ever been more excited to put a pair of sweatpants on than when we got to North Carolina and I found out that we could take all of our dress clothes off because we were just gonna eat pizza in the lobby or something like that. Oh my. I was so excited.
Will you ever eat pizza or Subway sandwiches ever again after the road trips?
If I see or smell a Jimmy John's sandwich, I might throw up. That's how many we ate.
It's pretty much, well, because they're everywhere there. They're everywhere.
Right.
And you can get a sandwich or like 30 sandwiches for like probably $15 or what. I have no idea what it is, but
that's unrealistic.
And the catering platter, whatever it is.
Well, that's why the people that are living out there are looking the way they're looking.
Yeah, you know, we had a lot of Italian style Jimmy John's sandwiches, lots of them. It's pretty good. It's great times eating in the hotel lobby, and yeah, it was good. Yeah. When mom and dad brought us a steak and shake, oh, they brought us a double cheeseburger and fries. Oh.
Right after clutch.
And the best part was it was right after the Pfeiffer game after we had just lost pretty badly. That made everything a little bit better.
The milkshake helped. The strawberry milkshake really just kind of.
Yeah. I had my milkshake in the shower even. I had my chocolate shake.
I had mine in the hot tub of the hotel lobby.
There you go. We think alike. See? There you go. So, yeah, that was perfect. But and it's kind of – did you – when we were on road trips, did you notice like the difference between our campus and the other campuses that we were – visiting, like how much like way cooler our school is?
You mean how every school we went to was in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I noticed it.
And every single building there is made out of what?
Bricks.
Yes, everything's brick. Oof. Every single building in North Carolina, I swear, is brick. Every single one, and they all have the big like white like pillars in front to make them look like fancy.
Yeah,
they're just brick squares with like the four pane glass and.
Yeah.
Every single building. It's unreal. But you can walk across the street and buy your gun in one store, and right next door you've got a whole tobacco shop.
There you go.
Right next door.
Well, that's all you need, really.
That's, I mean, if you're in North Carolina, what else can you really go for? I mean, that's got to be
NASCAR.
We did see the...
We saw the NASCAR thing. It was the coolest sporting event I've ever seen. Or the, like, building
stadium.
For stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. The Charlotte Speedway. It holds, like,
I've never seen
100
anything
something
that
thousand
big
people.
That just for a stadium. It was,
yeah,
it was huge.
We thought it was, like, half of what it was, and we kept driving, and the stadium just didn't end. And it's just a giant loop. And it's, like, 125,000. It's bigger than any NFL or college football stadium.
Really?
Yeah, it's huge.
It's pretty big.
It's gigantic. It was wild. And we just kept driving into the middle of nowhere. Just going.
No stopping. Just keep on going. Yep. Keep going. Follow the line down all the way.
Yep. What did you think when we pulled up at Coker College on that? We were going through the little, like...
Wait, Coker College?
Coker College. Coker Cobras.
Cobras.
The Cobras. I really wanted them to come out with the Globo Gym.
They had the same colors.
They did.
Were they purple?
Yeah, they were purple. Very nice. And black, nice. Or something like that? I don't know. And
a lot of Cobras in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we kept driving by these, like, high schools that had these sweet turf fields. So we're like, oh, dialed, sweet, get there. Dead grass and dirt.
Nice.
Just dead grass and dirt, and I was just looking at it like, all right, this is just like King's Way. It's just like Camus. It's
there
perfect.
Is a large animal veterinarian clinic,
okay,
right in the same park. So there's just a bunch of horses and cows, probably all sick.
Oh,
smell
sick
like
and dying.
Sick horses and cows. I don't know.
I think that's crap. It smells like crap.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, they're right behind the goal. They might have taken a couple hot ones, or the fence might have stopped them. That's why they need the vet. They conveniently located the veterinarian
right behind the lacrosse schools.
Right behind the lacrosse schools. But yeah, it makes you feel pretty good when you come back here and there's trees and mountains and like rivers and water.
Stuff
I don't
to look
just
at.
Not a swamp with dead things in it.
Features like actual like land features
and a turf
stuff.
Field. Pretty cool turf field. So it was nice.
And except for the last 3 days, it's like 70 every day consistently, like even keel. No,
yeah, for whatever
wild
reason,
weather.
We've been in a lot of rain, and other than that, it's been
I think it's
nice.
Because they know the Beals are coming down more and more frequently. Whenever our parents come down, it seems to rain like right before or after.
We used to blame Jack for that, actually. Every time you'd come down and come watch your brother, it would be
pouring. It took a couple
rain.
Years for me to get a sunny day at Dominican. I'm honestly surprised I came here. I thought it rained every time.
It's not that bad, actually. California's not that bad.
I've played more sunny games in the last 4 years than I've played all through
hands down.
Fifth grade through senior year of high school.
Hands down.
Absolutely. How wild. Is that weird for you, for us to say that?
Well, I mean,
in 4 years, I played in more sun than in like 8 years combined.
And in 4 years, you take 4 years out of SoCal and I might see rain twice.
Exactly.
Maybe, you know.
Sucks. See, this is what I deal with.
He asked. I'm not bragging.
Yeah.
He just asked.
This is why I like to rip on the Angels and stuff, because,
shut up.
I mean, that's my
You
got to
take your shots.
Oh, you got to take your shots whenever you can.
They're few and far between, so.
Yeah.
I'll wear
exactly.
We'll find them.
We'll get them. we'll search them out. Especially when the two of us are together, you're done. You're game over.
I've been very quiet. I know my place now. You know, I can't compete with two Beals. Just does not work.
The brain power between the two of us is just outstanding. It's just off the charts.
People's feelings get hurt sometimes.
Pretty much every time we get together, somebody starts crying.
It's always good to have Jack, though, on the show. Jack came on, earlier this year or something like that?
I think it might have been the first show.
The first show he came on, he's all bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, super excited, like, yes, college, gonna play lacrosse. And, you know, now he's a salty vet almost. So
yeah, almost. He's getting there. He still has to grow like the shaggy do, like stubble, but he's getting there.
He likes to keep it clean cut.
He
you
likes
know?
To keep it a little clean. He lets it go every once in a while, though. I can see it.
Every now and then.
Every now and then. The Oakley hat, you just look great. If you had some shades on right now with the stubble, prime.
It's a good look.
The problem is they're Ducks colors. It's a Duck color.
It's Dominican colors.
That's pretty bright yellow neon Ducks, you know, crossing guard, don't want to get hit by a car at night.
We'll call
colors.
It matte gray and faded gold on the hat. Faded gold on the hat.
Faded gold. I don't know.
I plan on golfing this summer, so I
So you got to wear
I
your,
had to get
your
an
matte,
Oakley golf hat.
Your matted gray faded gold.
I got to rep the Pangs back in Camas.
Absolutely. You got to let them know.
Camas Meadows might be seeing a lot of me. or maybe not a lot, depending on how my first round goes.
Yeah, the rough and the freeway that parallel the course might be seeing a lot of you more than the actual golf course.
That's true.
I mean,
go hit cars while you're doing it, not intentionally, but you know it happens.
You got to time it up though, because if you aim away from the car, you're going to hit it every time. So you got to make sure you time that one up.
I'm not going to take any advice from golfing about golfing from you ever.
No, ever. No.
Ever.
I wouldn't if I was you either. No, absolutely not. I did beat Coach Cam in 2 rounds in the last week and a half, though. So claim to fame right there. Oh. And it's special.
Haven't got the invite yet.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Well, when you're talking trash before we even get onto the course, why would I invite you out there? I'm not going to take advice from you. Well, all right. Stay in the dorms then. I'm going to go play golf.
You guys just got to work your way up, Jay.
Yeah.
You got to work your way up.
I'll caddy him the first couple
of
times.
I've got my clubs in the back of my car, and I still haven't gotten an invite.
You haven't even taken them out of the car yet. You told me that like a week ago. I brought my clubs up. Oh, sweet. Where are they? Oh, they're in my trunk.
I've been busy.
He's a working man.
Yeah.
By the way, congratulations on wearing your shirt that you gave me.
You are wearing
the
shirt.
I'm wearing the Sonoma Stomper shirt tonight.
I like it.
You want the Syracuse orange colors, and the logo's kind of similar. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I like it.
Totally rip them off. No big deal. Whatever.
I mean, no.
For sure.
I'm just saying the color scheme is very similar. It's like identical.
You know, it's good though. Works. I like it. I was a little hesitant about an all orange shirt, but it works.
No, it looks good. Sometimes it might
just be you wearing it, but I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought
he's
that was
a big guy. It's a lot of orange.
It's a lot of orange. An XL orange t-shirt is a lot of orange. Let me tell you. It's a lot. It's a lot of color.
It happens.
Yeah.
We're going to let's go to another break real quick. When you come back, though, we'll finish up with Jack and the last 20 minutes of the show. This is The Tailgate. Brock Beal, El Capitan. Our guest is Jack Beal, little baby. You don't need to know my name. Keep it here.
Hey, irrelevant.
We got your Seattle Mariners song up. Here you go.
In the garage, the sawdust, that pine saw in the moss. Around every spring, when the winter thaw, we'd huddle around the radio, twist the broken knob. 7:10 a.m., no KJR. Dave Lee House's voice would echo throughout the yard. Couldn't have been older than 10, but to me and my friends, the voice on the other end might as well have been God's. 1995, the division series, Eggers at the bat, bottom of the 11th inning. Got the whole town listening, swung on and belted. The words distorted, Joey Core rounds third. Here comes Griffey, the throw to the plate's not in time. My oh my, the Mariners win it. Yes, fireworks, they lit up that ceiling in the King Dome. We had just made history.
Yes, one on the line, that left field line for a base hit. Here comes Joy. Here is Junior to third base. They're going to wave him in. The throw to the plate will be late. The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship. I don't believe it. It just continues.
And woven, barely holding that stitch. Creases of time amongst the grime and the grit. Weathered leather, used to pound his fist. To some it's just a mitt, but see that glow is him. Yep, tell me stories on the field with that sun-stained brim. Blood under my chin, he taught me how to spit. Sunflower seeds back with me and my crew. Sunburnt arms, big league shoe. Yeah, we were like the sandlot after dinner. After practice, we listened to the M's in the kitchen. And if mine wasn't tripping, come on, Dad. Please, I swear, this one more inning. Voice would pump, pump through the system. Break out the rye bread. It's grand salami time, my oh my. Another victory, yes. My city, childhood, my life. Watching Griffey right under those lights.
under that light rain, beaming in that night game. Can't stop now, keep moving, no break pads. Came here to prove a point, live my life on the field, make history in between the base path, and compete against the fear that is in me. That's my only barrier, and I swear that I'ma break that. From the mud, the cleats that we drug through the feet, this is that moment and you cannot take it back. And I don't really collect cards anymore, just a box and some old cardboard. Memories embedded in the dust, and the fibers that age just like us, living somewhere off in a drawer. This is what you make of it, yeah, we play to win, live it like we're under the lights of the stadium. Fight until the day that God decides to wave us in, right, until he waves us in. It's my city, childhood, my life, that's right, under those lights. My city, childhood, that's right, me house, my oh my, come on. My city, childhood, my life, that's right, under those lights. It's my city, childhood, my life, me house, my oh my, rest in peace.
Well, you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. And you let her go. Of your glass, hoping one day you'll make a dream last. But dreams come slow and they go so fast. You see it when you close your eyes. Maybe one day you'll understand why everything you touch surely dies. But you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. Staring at the ceiling in the dark. Same old empty feeling in your heart. Cause love comes slow and it goes so far. Well, you see her when you fall asleep, but never to touch and never to keep. Cause you loved her too much and you dive too deep. Well, you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. And you let her go. Oh, 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 oh. And you let her go. Burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go.
What a sad song.
Yeah, it's really depressing. It kind of hits you right here. Right after, especially after that little sap-sucking segment that we just had. It just got me deep. Wow.
That was so unintentional, too. We were running out of track on the My Oh My there, and I just clicked something, and freaking Let Her Go comes up.
It's just criminal is what it is, really.
Oh, boy. This is The Tailgate every Thursday. I don't even know why I say Thursday. Yeah, sometimes it's on Thursday nights, 9 to 10. Brock Beal, Hunter Hornstein, our final season. And as Brock pointed out, a couple of shows left. That's it. Once we get that final date, when we know that's our last show, we're going to blow it up. And you know, we'll invite Smitty back. We can do a Stump Smitty. We can invite everybody that's ever helped us along with the, with, you know, I'm talking... We get even Sam Vella in here. We could bring back Ben Ludeman.
So you're trying to get arrested.
Sean, I mean, we should bring back the Calvary.
You're trying to get kicked off the radio for our last show.
We got
to
go down in a blaze of glory.
I like it. Better to go out, you know.
You know who I tried to get on for tonight's show, actually, was Limebach, the AD.
Oh, well, that'd have been cool.
But he declined.
If so facto,
because,
we're not big enough, apparently.
Well, it's his wife's birthday.
That's more important.
So chances are he's not listening, but a very happy birthday.
Absolutely. Happy birthday.
But we
sure all the little kids.
He would have been sleeping on the couch if he
Yeah, absolutely.
Good call, Brandon.
Yeah, good job. So speaking of the last show coming up, there are some pretty big sporting events happening here in the next 3 to 4 weeks. You've got, you know, Final Four starts on Saturday, and you got the Masters coming up in the next couple weeks in April.
But
I mean,
does anyone care about the Masters, though, right now?
No.
I mean,
right now,
your
no.
biggest
day of,
name.
I'll be watching.
Well, yeah, of course, because that's the American thing to do. But
that's all you have to do.
You know, the biggest name goes down. Obviously, we're talking about Tiger Woods.
I was disappointed to see that.
I mean, it would be like if Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were playing in a Super Bowl against each other, and they both got hurt the day before the game. That's how big it is, because they literally have nothing else to sell.
It loses the vibrato.
They've been selling Tiger Woods so hard for so long. They have no idea how to sell anything else.
Well, he's your guy to not only capture obviously those diehard golf fans, obviously, and there's a good number of them out there world. You know, your frat boys are going to be watching the Masters. That's just a religion for them. You know, but to the common sports fan and to the one that you market as your face of golf, I mean, say what you want about what happened in his past. He's still the face of golf.
Well, and that helped him with the everyday public.
Absolutely. And when your face goes down, you know, it's going to be like what they talk about in Major League Baseball. Derek Jeter, he's going to be retiring after this year. He's been the face of baseball for so long. It's time for another person to take the torch.
Mike Trout, probably.
Right. Now, Tiger Woods necessarily isn't going anywhere, but you have this void that you're scrambling to fill.
Who do you think, Jack, jump in on this too, if Tiger Woods is number one, and there's, let's be clear, a huge gap between the number one golfer in the world or most popular golfer in the world of Tiger Woods and the number two guy, who is that number two guy? Who is the second most popular golfer that the PGA can sell as a marketing strategy? You know, you have Bubba Watson, Phil Mickelson.
I think you got to go Phil Mickelson.
Phil Mickelson.
Bubba Watson. That guy, he's never taken a professional lesson.
I could agree with you there, but
he drives a hovercraft golf cart. Okay. He bought the General Lee with his Masters winnings from 2 years ago.
But if you look at Phil Mickelson, though, I think, you know, there's, I don't know. Are you looking for the style and kind of the pizzazz of Bubba Watson? Or are you looking for the calm and consistency of Phil Mickelson? I think those are two different dynamics right there. One's winning on name. Both of them are winning on name alone. Is Phil Mickelson a better golfer than Bubba Watson? I think so. you know, so what are you looking for to be your face?
I'm saying if the PGA marketing team, let's say there's a team, there probably is, and their job is to now market the Masters, and you say you cannot use Tiger Woods. You have to put a poster up of the Masters with a golfer on the poster.
You got to go
two. And it can't be Tiger Woods.
You got to go two.
You have to use two golfers?
I think you use two.
See,
it's a competition. It's not one guy just out there golfing. There's got to be something.
Yeah, even if Tiger Woods was still in it, I think you would see Tiger. You would see
But Tiger's picture
Watson,
would be significantly bigger than everybody else's. Significantly bigger.
Well, yeah.
And he'd be front and center.
Oh, absolutely. But I think also you would see alongside him, flanking, so to speak, Bubba Watson. You'd see Phil Mickelson
Rory
there.
Rory McIlroy, guys like that.
Yeah, you would see, I think, I like what Jack was saying. It's a competition. You have them all as a package almost, right?
Exactly.
From what we're seeing now, there's still, even the commercials for the Masters now still have Tiger on them. There's a Masters commercial on ESPN right before the show
they
when I came
will.
In. I know, but he's not even in
they
it.
Still
so
have
why is
Arnold
his
Arnold Palmer on some of them? Or,
well, because he plays. He does the honorary
okay.
tee off with him and.
But that's not what they're advertising.
It's the legacy of the sport. He's, you know, I mean, that's well, that's all they have
but,
to offer
but
now.
That,
is
but
like,
that's why
okay.
Tiger's there because he already has a legacy in this sport.
I know, but that's how bad it is. They have nobody else to promote, so they're promoting the fact that, you know, those guys walk up on the first tee and. The 85-year-old dudes all take turns whacking it 85 yards with their driver, and that's like, oh my god, golfing greatness right there. Oh,
would you rather see Billy Madison on there on the
yeah,
cover?
Absolutely.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Give me a Happy Gilmore crush, and that'd be sweet. But no,
broken a club doing that once. Don't try it at home, kids.
Yeah, you almost broke a club at the driving range. You hit the pole.
No, the ball hit the pole.
Oh, the ball hit the pole?
The ball hit the pole.
Well, because at the driving range, they're the like stalls,
don't
I guess. I don't know. They're very
tell
tight.
Me that I
they're
hit
very
the pole
narrow.
With my club.
It sounded
you know what? But there's a reason for that. There's a reason why they're tight in stalls because you're not supposed to be doing that.
Well, it turns out you're not supposed to make loud noises on a golf course. So I got a lot
of
dirty looks.
That is the worst. That is the worst rule of anything in sports, by the way. No loud noises on golf courses. Are you kidding me?
It's a sporting event.
It's sport. Exactly.
And you're not supposed to run either. I remember Dad just absolutely coming down on me when I would run across the green. Because you're not supposed to like run on the green at all. And I would be just booking it across the green to get my shot.
No divots.
Oh, bring the wrath down on me.
Funny story. The good doctor back at home who, she was our age. Her friends. I mean, obviously the fun thing is to go for a round, you know.
Well, yeah.
Except, you know, it's not... not so much of a gentleman's game when you're our age, so to speak.
So they
would play speed golf, and they would do exactly what you were told not to do, is run all over the green, up and down, run, hit the golf club or golf ball, keep on running, hit it again, almost like an intense polo match.
I was going to say, it sounds like polo, yeah. Now, the only way that gets better is if you're still in your cart and
you're driving
and doing the one-handed swing out the cart. That is the ultimate sport right there. That's intense.
McGinnis Golf Course, watch out.
They don't offer golf carts. I think
we can run.
That's a big factor.
I think they know exactly what we would do with the golf cart there because it. Yeah,
I
it's exactly
nothing
what
wrong
I would jump
with that.
To. Well, we used to get in trouble for doing donuts right before tee off of a huge tournament. We'd be doing donuts in the middle of a fairway.
Yeah, looking back on it, that's pretty understandable.
Yeah, it was. We left trenches in the middles of the fairway because it would rain and be soft.
Yeah. Oh.
And we'd go out there like supposed to set up the signs for the sponsors. Donuts. Go to the back nine. As soon as you got past the back nine and you couldn't see the clubhouse, just whipping it around.
We got caught a couple times.
Several times. I'm surprised they still let us do that job after the first or second time.
Probably because they just wanted us out of the clubhouse. We're probably causing more trouble standing around.
That's very true. See, this is how our golf experience started. So.
That's fine. Yeah, I did the boring way. I had a four or five high school friends or middle school friends that we went out, and every Saturday we actually tried to play around, and we didn't. We left after nine, and we didn't play 18.
Well, no.
But, you know, and we didn't have any fun. We actually played, and now that I think about it, we wasted a lot of years doing that.
Lots of Saturdays wasted trying to learn golf.
There was no learning.
If there's any kids listening to this, do not pick up a golf club until you are at least in college because there is no point.
Well, see, that's
there is no point at all. You will not be good until you are like 24 years old.
See, the only reason I still have those golf clubs around is because I like doing the messing around thing. You know, I haven't swung those, by the way, since probably freshman year of high school. So I'm really excited to see how badly I can shank it.
I would love to be there the first drive.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, your first shot, this happened to me, your first shot, you're going to wind up.
Oh, I'm going to miss it.
You're going to go to just absolutely kill it, and you'll top the ball so hard that it'll like bounce in front of the tee and go 5 feet.
I won't even top it. I'll miss it. I guarantee you I'll miss it. Yeah. Well, that was the thing, because when I like to swing, I think of too much like a baseball bat. So I'm swinging to, you know, pull the damn thing, and so I'm whack.
Then slice left hard. See, I play the power fade. I like my power fade, so I line up.
You have no strategy.
No, I do. Listen.
Hit the ball. Just hit the ball.
Every time I play, it fades right. Like, it takes a 90-degree turn right.
No, I've seen it.
So I just started lining up way left. I just started lining up like 180 degrees left and just cranking it. And sure enough, it starts going. Fades right back to the – telling you, it works every time.
Huh.
I know.
I'm not sure they would accept that at the Masters.
No. Well, it's safe to say that none of us are ever going to the Masters.
We're not even allowed on the grounds after this.
No, probably not.
That was smart. That was Golf Bro with Brock Beal, by the way.
Yeah. I'm seasoned. I know what's going on.
A salty vet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it 10 o'clock yet?
It is 10:01.
Oh, man.
We were just killing the airwaves tonight.
Oh, boy. Jack, thanks for getting sentimental with us.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for ripping on your older brother. Oh, yeah. Appreciate it. Always a good time.
I'll still be able to do that when you're in Australia.
I know.
Oh, he will.
I'll get the Facebook update. Hey, guess what I just did? Scored 4 goals today. What are you doing with your life? Well, no, nothing, actually.
Well, you're in Australia, so yeah. That doesn't suck.
I win.
I think he gets the trump card there. Brock Beal, another show in the books. Thoughts?
That was probably our best show we've had all semester. Granted, we've only had like 4 because we've been gone the whole time. But great show. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to listen in for our next show, which will probably be in 2 weeks because we're
probably
leaving again.
In 2 weeks, yeah.
We're leaving again next Thursday. So, Jack, thanks for coming in again. Appreciate
Always.
It. Nice hat.
Thank you.
Faded gold.
Faded gold.
Not Oregon.
Watson. Oakley Golf.
There you go. Boom. Marketing.
Jack Beal was our guest tonight. We want to thank him. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. I know we've been really sporadic, and we enjoy you guys hanging with us. For Brock Beal. My name is Hunter Hornstein. This has been the Desk Stand Tailgate that you've ever had every Thursday night. Every Thursday, whatever.
Thursday nights. Sometimes.
Sometimes 9 to 10 o'clock. Check our Twitter feed at the DU Tailgate, and you'll find out when the next show is. If you miss this one, we'll get the podcast up hopefully within the next month or so.
Whenever we get around to it, you know. You know the deal, people.
That's it. That's all. We out.
Go Dogs.
Team Tailgate out. Have a good night, everybody.